You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast.
All right. Verse 38, Luke 10. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. All right. So you guys probably heard this story before. Obviously, the immediate application is that Martha was distracted and Mary was attentive to Jesus. But there's some things that Martha got right. There's some things Martha got wrong. There's some things that Mary can speak to us about. And sort of the big topic I want to talk about is this idea of hosting Jesus, and this idea that Jesus told Mary that there was only, or Martha, that there was only one thing that was needed. And that's kind of where I want to go tonight. I was thinking about, have you ever been to like a party or a wedding reception or something like that, and the person that's hosting the event is really stressed out? You know what I'm talking about? And so they're like worried about, oh no, the food's messed up, or the decoration's falling down, or the music's too loud, or whatever. And it can actually be really distracting from the point, right? So the person that's hosting the event can get so caught up in the details of the hosting of the event that they miss the fact that it's about, right, insert whoever's birthday it is, or whatever, whoever's getting married or whatever. And because the person's trying to put on this event, they're worried about all these details, they actually miss the whole point, and it becomes about them instead of about the person that they're trying to actually host a special event for. You guys know what I'm talking about? And so I think that's a little bit of kind of maybe what's going on here, and with Mary and Martha as well. So, because Mary got some things right. Letter A, don't look at the typo, but Martha is the one, this really stuck out to me as I was looking at this. Martha was the one that welcomed Jesus into her home. They were traveling. They entered a village, which we know is Bethany from other passages. And Martha was the one that actually welcomed Jesus. So even though Mary was the one who ended up sitting at Jesus' feet, Mary would have never sat at Jesus' feet if Martha hadn't been the one that invited them into the house to begin with. All right. Verse 40, Martha does call Jesus the Lord. So Martha recognized Jesus was the Lord. She did recognize who he was. And what's interesting is that she should have been, or she was the one that was hosting them. So therefore, she was the one that was the authority, because she was hosting them into her home. It was their house. But then she turns to Jesus and says, Lord. In other words, she's saying, you are actually a higher authority than me, and sort of turns over the party to Jesus, essentially puts him in charge. And then it's after that that he begins to rebuke her and says, hey, all right, if you recognize that I'm Lord, well, then that means that now I'm going to speak into some things that are in your heart that I need to talk to you about, because you're distracted and caught up with some other things and anxious. All right. But she did recognize him as Lord, and that was a good thing. Martha was motivated to host Jesus. She wanted to serve, and it's good to serve. Jesus says that he was the servant of all, and those who want to be like him should serve others. All right. So serving is a good thing. The verse is not saying you shouldn't ever serve people. You shouldn't ever work hard. You shouldn't ever labor. You shouldn't ever minister to others. You shouldn't ever be hospitable. That's not what this passage is saying. But Martha seems like had a mixture of good and bad motivations in her heart that were going on here. Seems like she had some good motivation, but there was some bad stuff mixed in with it. And that's what Jesus wanted to deal with. And that's what Martha got wrong. Number two, verse 40, Martha was distracted. She was distracted. I think that's a really important word. Serving is not bad. Ministering to people is not bad. Doing church activity is not bad. All kinds of things like that. Those things are good as long as they don't become distractions. Because even good things can become distractions if you're not careful from the most important things, namely knowing and loving Jesus. All right. And so when Jesus actually speaks to her, he says that she's anxious and troubled, or worried and troubled about many things. So Jesus saw externally she was serving, this is good, but Jesus knew in her heart that there was some kind of anxiety and there was worry and there was trouble. She was anxious in her heart. And Jesus knew, okay, it's good that you're serving, but there's something going on in your heart that's not right. Why are you serving? Are you getting off track? Are you really wanting to serve me or not? So there was some intention in her heart that was not good. And there was something about it, like I said at the beginning, where it's kind of like that person that's hosting a party, but they make it all about them instead of the person they're hosting the party for. Because she says, didn't you care that my sister left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. You know, there's this kind of like, what about me, Jesus? There's this kind of self-focused thing in there that's not very good. And honestly, I think what Martha really wanted was to actually also sit at the feet of Jesus. I think she would have loved to have done that, but she didn't think that she could. She was anxious and worried. Her worry and distraction, let her see, were keeping her from doing what she wanted to do, which was actually hosting Jesus, showing hospitality to him. And her ministry subtly became about her instead of about him. And Jesus was inviting her back to the most important thing. Now, I also thought it was interesting, the bottom of page one, that Martha doesn't talk to Mary and confront her. Because actually, you would think that he would go, Mary, what are you doing? Get up and help me, right? Like, they're sisters. But it's interesting that Martha went to Jesus and said, Jesus, why are you letting her sit there at your feet, you know? So she recognized Jesus was Lord, but to me, it's that her wrestle, her anxiety, her trouble was actually not with Mary. It was actually with Jesus, and she was not sure about Jesus's leadership in that moment. And I think part of that was because he was letting Mary sit there at her feet, which, as we'll talk about in a moment, was really culturally considered inappropriate and unusual that she would be the one that would sit there at Jesus's feet. And so Martha wasn't sure what was going on, and it made her anxious. Now let's look at Mary. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, says verse 39, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So this is the posture of a disciple who's following a rabbi. All right. Here I have Acts 22:3, where Paul talks about how he was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, who was one of the well-known rabbis in his day. So the idea of sitting at the feet of somebody is the idea that you're listening to their teaching, and then you're wanting to imitate that rabbi and follow them. Because if you were a disciple of a teacher of a rabbi, it wasn't just that you wanted to get some wisdom and education. You wanted to actually be like that rabbi. You wanted to imitate them and start to do what they did. Okay? And so Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. In other words, she's saying, you're the teacher and I want to be like you and I want to follow you. And in this cultural context, women were never disciples of rabbis. That was not the thing. All right. They had access to some teaching about the Torah, but they were never direct disciples of the rabbis. So Mary's taken this unique posture. And I think that's part of maybe Martha's rub in the moment. And so the shocking part here is not that Martha confronted Jesus, it's that Jesus didn't rebuke Mary and instead rebukes Martha. Because then the Jewish people in their day, they would have said, what's going on here? Jesus, you should be rebuking Mary, telling her to get up and go serve so that his guys could be the ones sitting at her feet. Instead, he goes, no, I'm leveling the playing field here. Mary's going to get to come and sit at my feet. And I think he's even saying, Martha, you can do the same thing if you want to. I'm going to invite you to come and follow me. Come and learn from me. Come and be in my presence. Come and pray, right? He's inviting Martha into that intimate relationship with him as well, out of that anxiety and trouble and worry and distraction, to really be in his presence as well. So Martha, Jesus said, was verse 41, you are worried and troubled about many things, verse 42, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better part, or the good option, as some translations say, the good portion. What is better? And that's what Mary chose, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, a quick moment of context here, and then I want to look at how we can host Jesus well, because that's part of what we want to do here at the Greenhouse. We want to host Jesus. We want him to be the main guest, the main attraction, the one we want in our midst, in the center of it all. But I want to give a little bit of context, because right before this story is the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. You guys know this, right? And so Jesus is teaching his guys about the man who got beat up on the side of the road. The priest comes, walks right by. The Levite comes, walks right by. And then it's the Samaritan, who's an outsider, who comes and shows compassion to this person and helps them. All right. And so I think there's some interesting comparisons here between the story of the Good Samaritan and the story of Mary and Martha, because the priest and the Levite, even though they're supposed to be the worship and prayer people, right? They're supposed to be the worship room people like us, right? They're the ones that went right by the guy that had gotten hurt, and the Samaritan went and helped them. They were distracted. In the same way, I think Mary was preoccupied. She was distracted with what she had to do, and she didn't attend to Jesus. So the priest and Levite didn't attend to the man that was hurting. Martha wasn't attending to Jesus. They both were distracted. They both failed to love. They didn't love God. They didn't love their neighbor, one or the other. And so I think in both stories, let her see here, the temptation was self-involvement and religious busyness that distracted from loving God and loving people. So we've got to guard our hearts for this. And even as it's like, we want to be committed to the prayer room, but we want to love people well too, right? So we want to minister to the Lord, but we want to minister to others. And we don't want ourselves in our own busyness to distract from either one of those things. All right. So number five, the process of hosting Jesus. So I just thought, because our desire here at the Greenhouse is to host his presence, we use that language. It's on our website and that kind of thing. The idea of hosting the presence of God, we're hosting the presence of Jesus. How do we do that? How do we create an environment where God is welcomed, right?
Hey guys, it's Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Paid subscribers receive exclusive access to brand new bonus podcast episodes every month, along with our library of previous bonus episodes. You will also get free access to my Enjoying Prayer video course, bonus articles from our Substack newsletter, discounts on books, and more. You can become a paid subscriber today for only $5 a month or $50 a year. If you've enjoyed this free podcast, becoming a paid subscriber is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this resource and partner with Presence Pioneers Media in equipping the church in day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Click the link in the show notes or visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today.
Are we hospitable to Jesus? Letter A, we welcome him. This is what Martha did. She welcomed Jesus into her home. Now, I think biblically, the way we welcome God into our midst is we enter his gates with thanks and we enter his courts with praise. So we always want to thank God. We want to praise him, and then that shifts our attention off of ourselves onto the Lord. All right, so we want to welcome him, we want to thank him, we want to praise him, and then we want to honor him as Lord. Remember, I said Mary said, "You are the Lord." That phrase is used multiple times here, which is a little bit unusual that they would recognize already that Jesus is Lord, that he is God. They're recognizing that he is the Son of God. So they were worshiping him and honoring him and giving him the worship that he deserved. That's how we host him. We honor him. Let her see, we listen to him. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So this is, we go from thanksgiving, praise, worship, and into prayer, into intimacy and into intercession and into listening to him. And I felt like I should put this little bullet point in here. Are we actually listening to Jesus in prayer? Now, this can be hard because we tend to fill the silence with noise. We tend to want to be saying something. We feel like when we're done talking, the prayer time is over, but it shouldn't be. We also need to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. He wants to speak to us and give us revelation, show his heart to us. And there's multiple ways God speaks to us, but the number one way is through the scriptures. So that's why we always want to pray the Bible, but he also speaks to us by his spirit through his voice. And so part of how we host him is we let him speak. We don't just go on, oh, I'm going to sing my song and I'm going to pray my prayer and I'm going to fill this hour and then we're going to leave. And that's great. But like, we want to create space for God to actually speak to us and lead us and guide us personally and even together. Like in these hours that we're worshiping and praying together, we want there to be space where if God says, go right, we can go right. Go left, we can go left. Pause, we can pause. Press in harder, we can press in harder. But we can't do any of those things if we're not tuned to the Holy Spirit and how he's leading us, listening to him. So Mary was tuned in. Again, it's not bad that Martha was serving, but it was bad that she was distracted. That was the issue. She wasn't tuned in. And so we want to be tuned in to him so that he can lead us from moment to moment. And then we follow him, letter D. If he says go right, we actually go right. If he says go left, we actually want to go left. And then in that situation, we're no longer hosting Jesus. It's like he's hosting us. You know what I mean? We go from hosting him and he's the guest of honor to all of a sudden, like Martha says, you are Lord. Okay. Then Jesus kind of takes over. And I love that when we're gathered together and it's like the Holy Spirit comes in and the wind blows one way and we go that way and we're like, all right, God, we're following you. Whoever's leading worship or leading prayer or whatever, like we're not leading this meeting. We are following you wherever you go. But it's bigger than just our meetings too. It's also just with our lives. We want to follow him in obedience and host his presence. Now, that's just not something we do in this room. It's something we do with our lives as we worship him, hear his voice, and follow him. All right? So we want to be people that host his presence. We want to be people of one thing. Page 3, becoming a people of one thing. Because Jesus said, Martha, you're worried about many things, but one thing is needed. So what is that one thing? And what does that mean when Jesus says one thing? This is one of those little hyperlinks I talk about where you click on a phrase and it opens up to other passages in the Bible and you get greater understanding on what Jesus is touching on. Okay. So that one thing phrase is a little link I'm going to click on and pull up a couple other verses here because David used that same phrase in Psalm 27:4. And so I wonder, when Jesus is talking about Mary doing one thing, I just have to wonder if Jesus isn't thinking about David. It's not clear, but I just, in my heart, I'm like, I think it is. So here's what David says in Psalm 27:4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. All right, so David's one thing is actually three things. I love that. He says, there's one thing I want, and then he has a whole list of things he wants. But they're all really one thing, aren't they? It's all about being with God. It's about being in his presence, gazing upon his beauty, inquiring of him. In other words, listening to him, seeking him, asking him questions, and then him speaking back. This is what David's one thing was. So if we want to be one thing people, I think we need to be like David. We need to be those who dwell in his presence, those who inquire of him, and those who behold him, his beauty, gaze upon his beauty. And then Paul later uses the same phrase again. When we go to top of page 4, Philippians chapter 3, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Now that's a mouthful, but if you look at it in that chapter, Philippians chapter 3, what was this upward call of God? Well, this was Paul's one thing, okay? What was Paul's one thing? Well, he says, a few verses earlier, he says, what things were gained to me, I counted as loss. Yet I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul's saying, this is what I'm being called on. He said, not that I've attained to it. I want to know Jesus. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection. I've counted all loss. It's not that I've fully gotten there yet, but I'm pressing towards it, the upper call of God in Christ, which is to know him. This was the one thing Paul said, I want to know Jesus, period, to actually know him and be known by him. This is Paul's one thing, and I think this is the one thing that God's inviting us to as well, really knowing him, really having a relationship with Jesus. This was the heart of David, and I think this was the heart of Jesus. And maybe Jesus was quoting David, and maybe Paul's quoting Jesus here and using this little one thing phrase. But you see the same theme through all three of those passages where that phrase is used in the scriptures. So what does this mean for us to be a people of one thing? I think there's a personal and there's a corporate application here for us. Individually, I think this means prioritizing our relationship with God, our secret place, our time with God, our time in the Word, our time in prayer, taking time to listen to the Lord, taking time to worship God. Even when we have these corporate moments, these times of gathering with other believers, we need our personal one-on-one connection with the Lord. We need that. Jesus would sneak away. We talked about this before. Jesus would sneak away to go get away with the Father, and we need to follow his example. And that's part of what it means to be people of one thing. Now, I want to mention this phrase, one thing. This doesn't mean that the only thing that we have to do is pray, okay? There's a lot of things we have to do, all right? We have lives, right? But the one thing isn't the only thing, but it's the first thing. It's about priority, personally and corporately. So it's about making sure that we get our relationship with God right, because when that is right, it affects everything. It shifts everything. If it's wrong, it shifts everything. If it's off, it affects everything in our lives. It affects our personal lives. It affects our work lives. It affects our relationships. It affects our ministries. It affects everything. Our connection with Jesus is everything. It is the one thing. That's why Jesus says the one thing that's needed. He's saying, if you get this wrong, everything else you're going to try to do is going to be like hitting a wall. But if you get this one thing right, it starts to trickle into everything else and affect everything else in your life. That's what he means by the one thing. It's like that hinge thing that Atomic Habits, right? It's like an atomic habit where it's like, if you get this right, it affects so many other aspects of your life. So this is what it means to be a one thing people, is to prioritize our relationship with God, intimacy with Jesus. It's worth us sacrificing. It's worth us rearranging our schedules. It's worth us doing what we have to do to get this one thing right. All right. Letter B, becoming a one thing people corporately, as the greenhouse, as the worship room, it means that we collectively prioritize ministry to the Lord with worship and prayer. I believe this is God's desire for the church, the body of Christ, is that his presence would be the priority, that worshiping, praying, ministering to the Lord would fuel ministry to others. And I think there's a lot of effort to minister to other people that's not rooted in ministry to God, and it's not fruitful in the way that it would be if his presence was prioritized. If we got that one thing right, and then it would flow into other things. I think there's a lot of religious busyness and activity that's not actually fruitful. There's a lot of distraction in the body of Christ, and I think God's bringing us back to his presence first and foremost, and then that's going to be the wellspring from which life and freedom and everything else flows. Revival flows out of his presence. And so God's reorienting the church. He's helping us, and so that's what we want to be, as the greenhouse of what I say a presence-centered community, that the presence of God is at the center, that we host him first. And it's not the only thing, but it is our one thing. We minister to God first, and then ministry to others flows out of that. All right? Does that make sense? So being people of one thing, it's got an individual and a corporate application. All right, avoiding the two ditches. Number one, it's very easy for good things, like I said, even ministering to others, to distract us from the most important thing, a relationship with Jesus. This is a story of Mary and Martha. This is one of the most important things I think we can get out of this passage tonight, is that we don't want anything to take us away from our relationship and our connection to Jesus. Even good things, even serving others, can be a distraction from our relationship with Jesus. We've got to, Jesus said, it's the first and greatest commandment to love God. That has to be priority. So that's, we don't want to fall in that ditch and not love God, not have a connection to Jesus. Number two, the other ditch is we wouldn't love people. All right. We don't want to fall on the ditch of, sorry, I can't stop and help the guy on the side of the road that's hurting because I've got to get to the worship room, guys. Sorry. You know, like that doesn't work either. That's not love either. And so again, good things can distract us from love and what's most important. And we don't want to fall in either one of those ditches. We prioritize our relationship to God, and then we make sure we love others as well. All right. Letter D, kind of to sum up here, and then we'll be done short and sweet here. Realigning our priorities. Let's welcome him and honor him like Martha. Let's sit at his feet and listen to him like Mary. Let's dwell in his presence, gaze on his beauty, and inquire of him like David. And let's know him like Paul. Amen.